Thinking about our own transgressions and repentance is hard. And so it makes sense that we often latch on to metaphors to help us think about these ideas. Perhaps the strangest metaphor I know of appears in the Zohar. Dahachi ihu asham vechatas kesirchos deachidan bereya. For thus is the nature of sins, they are like adhesions that cling to the lung. The jarring metaphor is based on the halachic principle that an animal with a puncture in one of its lungs is not kosher. An animal with only an adhesion on its lung, however, not an actual puncture, has an unclear status. Since the adhesion may be covering over an actual puncture wound, some authorities are strict to forbid such an animal, while others permit it if the adhesion can be removed, revealing undamaged tissue beneath. What does the process of tshuva have to do with lung adhesions in animals? The Shem Yishmuel takes the comparison very seriously, learning something deep about the nature of tshuva from these specific laws. He writes, V'yadua machlokas Rashi v'tosfos, v'inyin taima de trefus asirchos, the debate of Rashi and Tosfos regarding the reason for adhesions rendering an animal non-kosher is known. Rashi's view, he says, is that adhesions always indicate the presence of punctures, and if so, the lung is already punctured. Why else would there be an adhesion there? But the opinion of Tosfos is that it's because it will eventually break down in the future and become punctured. And certainly both of these, writes the Shem Yishmuel, both of these views are the words of the living God. According to the Shem Yishmuel, this framework, this debate of Rashi and Tosfos, is what the Zohar had in mind when it compared sins to adhesions of the lungs. Just as there are two kinds of adhesions, those obscuring a wound and those which are precursors to such an injury, so too, there are two kinds of transgressions. He continues, Yesh shabayin mikoach shekvar kalsa mimenu chayus hakadosha al yedei ha'averos. Some transgressions are a result of the holy life force already having been depleted because of past transgressions. V'zoi sirchash al yedei nekev. This is an adhesion on top of a puncture. But there are others that deplete bit by bit the life force until one comes to serious transgressions with contempt. And this is an adhesion that is destined to become a puncture. In other words, sometimes we're doing tshuva for serious past wrongs. But at other times, the thing we're working on is not a grievous failing in our past, but something small, maybe even simply a tendency or a trait that, if left untended to, will lead to grave transgressions in the future. These are two different kinds of transgression, which therefore require different responses. The Shem Yishmuel connects this idea to a classical midrash on a verse we say twice every day during the months of Elul and most of Tishrei. Hashem is my light and my salvation. Hashem ori v'yishi. The midrash goes like this. Rabbanan patre kra b'Rosh Hashanah uv'yom kippurim. The rabbis understood this verse about light and salvation as applying to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Ori b'Rosh Hashanah, my light on Rosh Hashanah, v'yishi b'Yom Kippurim, and my salvation on Yom Kippur, sheyoshienu v'imchol lanu al kol avonoseinu, that God should save us and forgive us for all of our sins. Now, why is Rosh Hashanah associated with light, but Yom Kippur with salvation? The Shem Yishmuel continues, Hine b'Rosh Hashanah hu me'ein chidish bria. Rosh Hashanah is like a new act of creation. My father, our Rebbe of blessed memory, said that the meaning of the shofar is that it is a breathing of new life into the heart of Israel. Just as in the beginning of creation, as it is written, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And therefore the shofar works even for those who have completely lost their life force, provided they at least know and understand that their spiritual situation is endangered. And that is the meaning of my light on Rosh Hashanah, something like the creation of the world, which was total darkness, lacking in any light, and newness came into being when God said, let there be light, and there was light. Ach, zeshu sircha shesofa linkov, However, says the Shem Yishmuel, the adhesion that is destined to become a puncture is more serious than the first kind, where at least one realizes that they have transgressed. But the one who loses their life force bit by bit, that is like a corpse that does not even feel the scalpel. This requires a greater salvation, a yesha. Salvation, as opposed to mere help, is when the one being saved does nothing on their own, and all of the salvation comes from another's actions. And that, says the Shem Yishmuel, that is Yom Kippur, on which Israel is saved. Rosh Hashanah in this framing is the less radical holiday, because it merely resolves those transgressions that we've already committed. Because they're already committed, we realize that we must atone for them, and we're therefore able to initiate a process of tshuva. Rosh Hashanah, with the breath of the shofar, gives us a fresh start, an incredible, miraculous opportunity, but one which only repairs that which we already know we must be working on, and which we therefore already are working on. Yom Kippur, by contrast, is an even greater miracle, an act of salvation, yishi, because it atones for those transgressions we've not yet engaged in, but which our growing spiritual numbness might be leading us towards. Since we are not ourselves attuned to this ethical slide, we do not even understand that we must be working and engaging in tshuva for it. The salvation of Yom Kippur comes, even without our taking the first step, to redeem us from the spiritual numbness. This is how we begin the month of Elul, reciting a psalm that alludes both to the light and to the salvation of our great holidays of repentance. We acknowledge, twice each day, that the tshuva we are working on and the subsequent act of atonement takes two forms, the light of Rosh Hashanah and the salvation of Yom Kippur. It's easier to work on the former. When we know we have gone astray and failed to live up to our own values, we can begin a process that will lead to a total rebirth, a darkness made bright on Rosh Hashanah. The second process of tshuva, however, is much harder, and therefore requires even more of our attention in Elul. What are the slow, subtle shifts in my actions and thinking that are leading me toward an even deeper darkness? What are the small deviations from my commitments that, if ignored, might bring me to a place of ethical failing that I could not get back from? On the one hand, only the salvation of Yom Kippur can bring these to the fore and redeem us from our own spiritual numbness. Yet we begin, 40 days earlier, on the first of Elul, reminding ourselves that we are to engage in both kinds of tshuva, to examine not only our past failings, which is easier, but also the potential roots of future shortcomings. That is hard, but ultimately optimistic work, rooted in both a belief that we can interrupt the moral slide of inertia and in a faith that Hashem will support us in this work, saving us on Yom Kippur from those parts of ourselves that we ourselves cannot see. Chodesh Tov and Shana Tova.